ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
Killed with a drug overdose, then cut up and put in a wheelie bin. That is what prosecutors allege Cherie Glastonbury did to her partner, 55-year-old Geoffrey McLean. On the case of the wheelie bin murder, we'll follow the murder trial of Cherie Glastonbury and three co-accused as they defend charges relating to Geoffrey's death. Search for the Case Law podcast on ABC Listen or wherever you get your podcasts to make sure you don't miss an episode.
A new leader, but the same divisions over the future direction of the Liberal Party. As the right side of politics faces a radical realignment, Liberal leader Angus Taylor has made it clear a tougher approach to immigration is very much on his agenda. In his first address as opposition leader, he declared that the door must be shut to people who don't align with Australian values. So if the party shifts further to the right, which it appears to be wanting to, chasing voters back from One Nation's clutches, what does it mean for voters in the centre? And can they win a general election like this? Welcome to Politics Now. Hi, I'm Patricia Carvalis.
And I'm Jacob Greber. Well, what a fun weekend, what a fun week we've had in this business of ours.
What a time to be alive. Well, yes, people would know because they've heard the other podcasts and all of the shenanigans we've been up to that the Liberal Party has a new leader in Angus Taylor. They knifed their first and only female leader in Susan Lee, a moderate who's now gone and leaving the parliament. And now we're seeing the sort of fruits of this radical realignment. Just a little spruik tonight. I've got this Four Corners on, which looks at this very issue. Why are we seeing a shift? What is this all about? But let's just call it for what it is. It's because of One Nation's surge in the polls. They're freaking out so much so, and I'm going to put this to you, Jacob. The reason they're freaking out and the strategy now was said to me in clear language from James Patterson, who is a key conservative. He said to me in the documentary we're playing tonight, we need to lock down our base. That's their strategy. Save the furniture. This is not a strategy to win a general election, I put to you, Jacob. This is a strategy to stop the bleeding. Is that right?
Well, if you don't have a base, you don't exist. And that's exactly what I think Patterson is saying to you, and I'm really looking forward to that piece tonight. I see how much work goes into one of these Four Corners episodes. I've been seeing you sort of do your day job, but then running a million miles an hour as well on this project.
That's very relaxing.
Fun to watch. I like seeing how the sausage is made behind the scenes, and probably some of our listeners do as well. These things are, you're juggling 10 things at once. And they've all got to land exactly at the right moment.
I will tell you this story, and I don't think he'll mind me saying, you know, on Friday when they changed the leader, and I thought, well, we really need to refresh the story. This is kind of behind the curtain. I know people like to hear that. I thought, I wanted to get Angus Taylor. That was on the cards. He wouldn't come on the record at the end. He wants to get his feet under the desk for longer. Needed to get someone senior. I've got to tell you this, Jacob, because it's too funny. I went into what I know is just a blatant breaking of all rules and stalking. And when James Patterson finally did commit, and then I met him over the weekend to do this interview, which was a very good interview, right? He says to me, I didn't want to reward bad behaviour. And I said to him, excuse me, this is good behaviour. Aren't the Liberals about trying and getting a leg up? And he ended up conceding.
Of all the people to accuse, you know. Of bad behaviour, not Jack Patterson in particular, but like, you know, politicians.
That's how it happened. But the truth is, back to what you know, beyond the sausage being made, they changed their leader, but it was about getting back their base. Now, I've got one person who's in my inbox saying to me off the record, our base actually is in Kooyong, is in all of these seats. That's the base. What are they talking about, Jacob? That's an interesting perspective, isn't it?
Well, yeah, it was the base, and it is the base for someone like Tim Wilson, who managed to get one of those seats back off the Teals. The whole thing now is so dangerous to the Liberal Party's future. When you start getting those polls into the levels we've seen, 18%, One Nation, well into the 20s, you have an election in those circumstances, you end up with, you know, I mean, that's, you thought 2025 was bad. Wait till you see what that looks like. That's so dangerous to the Liberal Party. And it's when polls like that are entrenched, and we've seen multiple polls. We're not talking about one little outlier now. I think there was even another one this morning that re-emphasized those numbers, and that one was done in the middle of this whole leadership breakup. When you get to that point, that's when organizations, political organizations, lose their minds, because like corporations, political parties, actually the whole point of them is to exist, to actually survive. When you get down to that, like, this is the point about it.
Exclusively reveals they need to keep existing.
When you get down to this level of a threat, it does become, it becomes so fundamental. It actually, I'm sorry to say, hurts my teeth at how embarrassing that sounded, but I did say it. It's literally to endure. And so you have this push. Angus Taylor's come in, and it was actually his pitch after the election loss, when he tried to take the leadership the first time around against Susan Lee, his pitch was then, I can bring the base back, or at least stop them from hemorrhaging. Remember, he had Jacinta Namper-Jimper-Price as his deputy. A lot of talk he's going to make her something important in his shadow cabinet. The base, the base, the base. If you don't have it, you don't exist. You don't have an organization. I think the other little thing people have missed about Angus Taylor is, he's obviously coming from this sort of management world. He thinks about the way the structure should operate. His brother is the treasurer of the Federal Council. And my mail, and here's a little micro scoop. My mail is that after the last election, the campaign misspent, in the sense that their polls were so wrong, they thought they could afford to run ads in places where they couldn't. And that matters in politics, because you get paid per vote. Now, if you run a bunch of ads and people vote for you, you get the money back. If your polling's wrong and you run ads in places where people have already left and you think they're still there, you've got a shortfall. And that's exactly what happened. But Angus Taylor's brother, Charlie Taylor, has managed, I'm told, to balance the books of the Liberal Party's fundraising machine. So it's a bit of an inside politics thing, but money matters in these things. And they're the sorts of things that maybe this Taylor team is up to. Anyway, I really look forward to the show tonight, because I think you're going into the real, this is the political schism of our time.
Yeah, the political schism is how hard to go, right? How hard to go do you emulate some populism that you're seeing around the world and put that in the Liberal Party brand? That's the Andrew Hastie model. He's now out of the leadership race, but the ideas aren't out. I've got Garth Hamilton, who is his, you know, one of Andrew Hastie's supporters. He obviously locked in behind Taylor when all the Conservatives did, but originally very much an Andrew Hastie spruiker, who says, basically, the Howard Costello era is over, Red Rover. We've got to do different ideas. We're talking bring back jobs, manufacturing. Like, that's radically populist and different to what the Taylor kind of economic, dry, rationalist approach. And Angus Taylor hopes that if he leans into some of the culture war stuff, immigration, I've got this scoop today in the story, and now I see lots of others are following it, on you know, a banned list of countries. Like, that's a pretty radical idea. Now, that's been floated even under Susan Lee's leadership, but now it's solidifying under Angus Taylor's leadership, because he's trying to get himself a hardline immigration policy. So he hopes that answers the sort of questions of people who are going to One Nation. But I think the populists inside the party, they worry that that's just not enough. You need to do more, and you do need to offer working class people solutions, because there's economic grievances as well. So, Jacob, it's not just as clear cut as a personality contest at all. It's an ideas contest, and I love ideas. Like, am I right?
No, you're absolutely right. And I mean, there's already early little tension points around ideas. Over the weekend, I saw some interesting polling. How secure that polling is, I don't know, but it does point to how, for instance, on an issue like the gas industry and whether exports should be taxed, there's a lot of support, it seems, from One Nation voters to that idea. That's an idea the Liberal Party has generally opposed from the get-go, and Labor currently does as well, but it's starting to move on that issue. So there's these weird horseshoes in politics. We talk about the horseshoes where the left and the right join up. That might be one. That's difficult if you're Angus Taylor and you're trying to hold the line as a pro-business, pro-investment Liberal Party leader when you've got this populist right outflanking you on something like energy policy and Aussie gas for Aussies type politicking. Really interesting to watch. I think the other thing that I always keep thinking about, and I want to hear what you think. Angus Taylor is an interesting person in that he's seen as of the political right in the Liberal Party, but he's actually a funny sort of blend. He's not your classic Tony Abbott culture warrior. I mean, he has conservative views, but Taylor has traditionally been more in the policy realm. He hasn't really gone into those
kind of nerd. And I say that as a compliment, by the way. Like he's encyclopedic about details, and that's, you know, these are very good characteristics. But he's never been a retail politician, though, has he?
Well, and there's a knock on him that he's somehow in politics. You've got to be tough-skinned, but people will say terrible things about you. One of them is that he's just not very good at, you know, solving things politically, and that he's somehow, you know, adult. Well, you don't win the university medal in economics if you're a fool, and you don't get a Rhodes Scholarship if you're a fool. So I think people need to look a bit deeper than that if they have that view. He's been a business consultant, so he's had a career of breaking problems down into bits and trying to figure out solutions. Does that work for politics? We'll find out. Don't know. Not sure. But it doesn't mean, you know, you're talking with someone who thinks through things in detail. And I think it's really interesting, this question of how far to the right he goes before he loses himself, as in he's no longer himself. He's partly a Wallara man, a professional class in the world of consulting, but he also comes from rural regional part of Australia and has, you know, sounds like he's from the country. So he's an interesting blend. He's not one or the other. And in politics, people can smell out a phony in 10 seconds. And it's politicians who do things that aren't, when they're not true to themselves. I think that's my personal view. They come off the rails. Angus Taylor will have to go to the right on some issues. It'll be interesting to see whether that's him or not.
That's right. And he's already doing it on immigration, right? But how far he goes, because I know he's privately told colleagues when he was canvassing and quietly canvassing, because he was doing the kind of I'm asking without asking before he officially called, that, you know, as he articulated his vision, I know this because people have told me, so, right? Like, you know how that happens, that one of his things was, no, I'm not as hardcore as Andrew Hastie on issues of immigration. Yes, we have to be hardline, but we need to be race blind still. Like, he was making this point. I know he was. So now they're looking at a list of countries. Now, okay, there are ways to construct that, the fairness in it. Like, we don't know all the detail of a potential policy, and he's the sort of wonk that will demand it, I reckon. Like, how are we going to do this? But, you know, politics is a game of being quite blunt and simple. Why do you think Pauline Hanson's been so popular? Everything's so simple, unachievable often, but simple. So he's going to need to communicate in a simple way as well. And the right of his party are going to want him to be really, really hardline on some things. So back to your point, that's going to happen.
Do you think he might take a strategy of having people who he relies on to do that stuff on the right, you know, like a Jacinta Namba-Jimba Price figure or even a, you know, maybe he deploys Hastie in that way, and then he keeps himself a few steps above and behind that so that he doesn't get caught in culture war tropes or arguments.
Yes, but yes, I think that's absolutely a plan. And, you know, Jacinta Namba-Jimba Price has done that interview with Carl Stefanovic, I think, on his podcast saying, I'm back, baby, on the comments she made on Afternoon Briefing to me on the Indian immigrants. She did say they were clumsy, right? So some ownership that it wasn't, you know, well framed, but not really owning the damage. You know, so that they need the Indian Australians to vote for them. And I had a Labor person say to me, like, Indian Australians don't necessarily want to vote for Labor, but gosh, unless the coalition fixes that relationship, they can't get them back. And so Angus Taylor might be able to want to deploy people like Jacinta Namba-Jimba Price to do some of this culture war stuff. But it always comes back to the leader.
The person who was damaged most, yeah, as you say, was Susan Lee in that case where, you know, that suggestion blew up. The Liberal Party went into damage control very, very quickly because of the amount of hurt that does to a group of voters who probably, you know, on fiscal matters are more Liberal inclined than anything. I don't know.
Yeah. So if he keeps his sort of economic credentials intact, he thinks that can maybe win the metropolitan areas, right? Today he's put out this idea of a spending audit, a bipartisan spending audit. Actually smart strategy to put that out. I'll tell you why I think it's smart. He's got no policy yet. It's all being scrambled together as a new leader. I mean, a bipartisan committee where you look at spending, it's kind of meaningless, but you get to say something. And you know what I'm saying?
Hang on, isn't there a building with people in it called the Parliament that does?
But you know, it allows him to sort of talk about the economy and spending. Of course, the Treasurer said, "Yeah, no, thank you." But I think his messaging is about he's trying to get back to the economy. He's been talking about housing. This is his way, I think, Jacob, of trying to focus on the issues where he is very comfortable, actually.
Yeah. Look, you start where you're comfortable, and he's a fiscal conservative, or a dry, as they say in the parlance.
In a world where dries aren't sexy anymore.
No. He wants budgets balanced. He wants to expand, you know, spending at a slower rate than the economy in this current environment where we've got budget deficits. And there is a constituency out there in the community. I just don't know how big it is, and I don't know whether they prioritise other things that, for instance, Labor offers, which is a much more, you know, they'll give you upfront things, Labor, whereas what the Liberal Party's trying to sell here is some hard medicine. That's tough in politics.
Yeah, it's not easy, particularly, you know, we know that since COVID that people are more reliant on big spending.
I mean, you know, the student debt thing for me is a classic, PK. You know, when I first got to university, the Liberal and Labor parties, the student versions of them, used to try and get you to come and vote for them by putting on giant kegs of beer. Like that's politics at uni style, at least in the early 1990s. And then the local uni newspaper would spend months debating whether this was appropriate or not. Well, I don't know, handing out massive checks to pay off people's student debt, it's a kind of more sophisticated, more expensive version of a similar thing.
I love it. You've compared reducing education bills to free beer, and that is why we love you on this podcast, because I'm not sure if you've landed plane.
Look, I stand by it. You know what I'm saying? Like there's a group.
I get what you're saying.
And it is terrible how big uni debt is. It's appalling. But it's not a structural fit to pay off 1 year's worth of, you know, one cohort's part of their debt. Because guess what? This year, new students have started. Mm. They're still paying full rate. So it is a straight out pre-election thing you do.
And it worked.
But anyway, so the new Liberal Party under Angus is trying to address that. Now, how do you do that in political terms without being just a mean old goat who's trying to take nice things away?
Yeah, I don't know how you do it. I don't think he's got an answer. Now, also, we mentioned, you know, he rolled Susan Lee, only woman leader. Is there a, you know, as it's called, a transactional kind of collateral damage from doing that? Well, yes, my friend, and we've seen the first one. Charlotte Mortlock, who's actually in Four Corners tonight, has quit the Hilmers Network. She set it up to deal with getting more women pre-selected to be in the Liberal Party. Everyone agrees that it needs to happen. No one seems to agree on how. Her idea of quotas has been put on ice. She's resigned. Now, if they're losing people like her, right?
They've a serious problem. It's DEFCON problem.
I mean, the woman is really talented. I cannot find a Liberal MP who doesn't agree, right or left of the Liberal Party. She's really talented. So how do you lose that talent? You know what I mean? Like, and this is all in the wake of Lee going. This is a very big problem, Jacob. If you can't keep women in that cohort, you're stuffed.
It's just one big klaxon horn is ringing for me on this issue for the Liberal Party. And because I don't know about you, but when you might have heard this researching your piece, but there was real anger among some Liberal women behind the scenes to that picture of the four blokes coming out of the Melbourne suburban house. And you know, there was a view. Couldn't they have found one single woman to be a co-plotter for the downfall of Lee? Like, all they needed was a woman to be in that group, but they didn't even have that. So it's just a terrible look. And that is not going away. That will stick. You know, it's probably the main reason, I suspect, that they're going to have to think very hard about how they address this. What do they do? Angus Taylor doesn't like quotas.
He's not going to support quotas, right? But he'll talk up women a lot. He's got Jane Hume as his deputy. She's a moderate Victorian urban kind of woman. She has a lot of baggage. Now, they've done a lot of mea culpas, which we talked about with Claire on the Friday pod. A lot of mea culpas. Yes, taking higher taxes to the last election was wrong. Working from home, you know, policy saying that shouldn't happen as much, that was wrong. Okay, good, you know. People make mistakes, but that is, you know, that working from home policy, the reason that was so problematic is it, you know, lots of reasons, but it really annoyed women, right? Mm. Because it's women who do a lot of this double work. If you're adding in, I had one MP at the time who said to me, a Liberal, who said to me, and it was a bit mean about Jane Hume, but I'll tell you, because that's the way they talk, you know this off the record, who said, might be easy for Jane living in the leafy suburbs to get quickly to a meeting. But if you're living in the outer suburbs, you've got to get your kid from childcare, then school, and you've got to go into work because now it's illegal to go. Not that it was the proposal, but you know what I mean? Like, the message is that you can't go and work from home. That woman's angry. You know what I mean? That woman's like, are you really trying to make my life harder when technology should be liberating us and making perhaps our double load easier? Or not that it's ever easy, but you know what I mean? Back to Jane Hume. I think she deserves, like anyone does, you know, is it a second chance? You know what I'm saying? Like, she's clearly realised that. I do think she has some political talents. She's passionate. She fought, for instance, to keep net zero by 2050. She was outspoken about that. She's lost that debate. I think she might. I've said this before. But she'll be an important voice in Angus Taylor's ear, don't you think, about metropolitan Australia?
Yeah, and I'm sure she's learned a lot of lessons from the last year, the last 12 months of going through that experience, and will take, you know, new ways of doing, think through policies a little more. The broader thing here is, and this is why Labor's been so successful, I suspect, is they're just, when you do that work from home policy and you don't recognise the impact it has on women, especially in outer suburbs, it sends a broader signal that you don't understand Australia. And this is the thing that the new team has to try and get across. They have to try and seem more like they're in tune with what Australians are about. They have to look and sound like Australians. They have to, you know, read the room, I guess, is what I'm saying. I'm not saying that's easy, but Labor's just better at it at the moment.
Well, Labor, final thought from me, and then I want to get a final thought from you, Jacob. I mean, we're not talking about Labor much, right? And yet they're in government. People find that annoying. Sometimes you're right to find it annoying, but equally, I can tell you, because I've been saying this, Labor loves it, let me tell you. Now, I'm not doing it because they love it, but I'm saying they do love it because they're like, watch over there. Don't look over here. They're getting on with their business, right? This weekend, they announced so much money for more AUKUS, right? So much money. Where's the scrutiny on that?
Yep.
So much money. Now, I'm not saying it shouldn't be spent. That is not for me to determine, but I do think those are the big issues, right? So all this scrutiny on like the coalition, because the right-wing politics changing does have an impact. What is the parliament going to look like? Is One Nation really going to win seats? That's all on the cards. But I think the shift may end up hitting Labor too if what's at the heart of this realignment that we're seeing in the right-wing of politics is actually economic grievance too, not just flags, not just culture, because if it is, they're going to smash Labor too at some point. Watch that space.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think that it is more economic. These other issues tend to bubble up to the surface when people are feeling insecure, when people are struggling, which is what's happening to significant parts of the population. And I think that's a big explanation for what's happening here.
Jacob, final thought, any extras?
No, I'm tapped out.
Okay. Can I just tell you my favourite line from tonight? There's a few of them, but it's definitely Tony Barry, former Liberal Party strategist, well known for the one-liners, now from Redbridge, saying that the Liberal Party needs an enema.
Okay.
Now, just Google enema if you're not across
with that,
it.
With that glorious thought, what a good way to finish the podcast.
All right, and good luck to you and your enemas. That's it for Politics Now today. Jacob, always love having you on the pod.
Everyone needs a good enema. Anyway.
Oh, clear yourself out. We'll be back with the latest developments in politics throughout the week. If you have a question for us, send them to Fran and I at thepartyroom@abc.net.au. Voice note is the way to do it. See ya.
All the best.